Okay, so we've got this stack of writings here by John Taylor Gatto,
Yeah.
former teacher,
Yeah.
even New York State Teacher of the Year.
Wow.
But then he kind of went and did something pretty radical,
Right.
right? He quit and like publicly denounced compulsory schooling.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story for sure.
Really is.
What I find really interesting is that Gatto didn't just criticize the system, he actually offered a whole analysis of what he calls the hidden curriculum.
Okay.
He believed that schools weren't actually designed to, make students smart and independent, but to shape them into specific roles that would benefit, powerful interests.
So it's not just about what we learn in textbooks, but like the unspoken lessons we pick up along the way.
Exactly. You could say that one of Gatto's most striking analogies is comparing schools to factories, churning out compliant workers rather than these like free thinkers. He even points to historical figures like Elwood Cubberley. And Cubberley explicitly compared schools to factories aiming for standardized and predictable outputs.
Wow, a factory of students.
Yeah.
That's a powerful image.
Yeah, it is.
So what are some like specific examples of this hidden curriculum in action?
Okay, well, think about all those don'ts you heard in school, right? Don't talk, don't run, don't question. Gatto argues that this conditions children to suppress their natural curiosity and just blindly follow rules. He calls this the lesson of obedience and conformity.
It's like the system rewards those who fit in and stay quiet, not
Yeah.
those who challenge the status quo or
Precisely. Then you've got like the endless drills, the standardized tests, the lack of real-world application. Gatto argues that these things lead to boredom and a sense that learning is irrelevant to life.
Totally.
He calls this the lesson of indifference and passivity.
I can definitely relate to that feeling of why am I even learning
I
this?
think we all can. And finally, there's the constant ranking and sorting of students through grades and tests. Gatto says this instills a belief in inherent inequality, limiting aspirations, making students see themselves as either winners or losers. It's the lesson of competition and hierarchy.
So according to Gatto, these unspoken lessons shape us more than we realize, influencing how we think and behave even as adults.
Absolutely. I think that's a key takeaway.
Yeah.
And what's even more intriguing is that Gatto traces the roots of this system back to 19th century Prussia.
Really?
He claims that the Prussian model of schooling was designed to create a docile workforce and to suppress dissent, producing obedient subjects rather than critical thinkers.
So this factory model of schooling wasn't even an American invention.
Exactly. Gatto argues that influential figures like Horace Mann, who's considered the father of American public education, were really impressed by the Prussian system and actually brought it to the US.
Wow, that's quite a connection.
Yeah, it
But why would anyone intentionally design a system to suppress independent thought?
is.
What's the purpose behind that?
Well, this is where Gatto connects schooling to the rise of industrialization and mass production. He suggests that with mass production came the need for mass consumers, and schooling played a role in conditioning people to consume rather than produce.
So it's not just about creating obedient workers, but also obedient consumers.
That's Gatto's argument. He even goes so far as to say that schools cultivate a kind of ugliness, both physical and psychological, through their emphasis on conformity.
Ugliness.
Okay.
Strong word.
Yeah. What does he mean by that?
Well, he connected to the importance of appearance at elite universities,
Okay.
suggesting a deeper societal bias against those who don't fit a certain mold. It's like there's a whole set of unspoken criteria for success that goes beyond, academic achievement. It sounds like he's painting a pretty bleak picture of the school system.
He is in some ways, but he does offer alternative models of education, some examples of how things could be different.
So did he have any specific examples?
Absolutely. He contrasts the factory model with the story of David Sarnoff, the founder of RCA. Sarnoff dropped out of elementary school and achieved success through real-world experience and self-teaching. This really exemplifies Gatto's belief in the power of open-source learning, where knowledge isn't confined to institutions.
So learning doesn't have to happen within the four walls of a classroom.
That's what Gatto was proposing. He highlights alternative models like the Camino de Santiago in Spain, an annual pilgrimage where people of all ages learn through direct experience and challenge.
That's a far cry from the structured environment of like a typical school.
It is.
Yeah. Did he have any other examples?
He also points to the Lancaster Amish and their community-based education model, which combines practical skills, apprenticeships, and a shorter school year focused on values rather than just abstract knowledge.
These alternative models are so interesting. Really makes you think about the different ways learning can take place. But if Gatto was so critical of the system, did he offer any solutions, any ways to resist or change it?
He did. He proposed a pretty radical idea called the Bartleby Project, inspired by Herman Melville's short story about a scrivener who passively resists his work.
Okay.
Gatto called for peaceful resistance to the system, encouraging students to refuse standardized testing.
So a boycott of standardized tests.
That's right.
That's a bold move. What was his reasoning behind that?
He saw it as an act of civil disobedience that could expose the flaws of the system and empower individuals to reclaim their education. He believed that if enough people refused to play the game itself would have to change. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Gatto believed that standardized tests don't actually measure real learning.
Okay.
But instead, they reinforce the very hierarchies that he was criticizing.
So he saw them as perpetuating that sense of inequality, labeling some students as smart and others as not smart.
Exactly. And it's not just about tests. Gatto criticizes the structure of schooling itself.
Okay.
He talks about the cauldron of broken time, the constant interruptions and rigid schedules that make it really hard to engage deeply with ideas.
It's like we're constantly being shuffled from one subject to the next,
yeah,
never really having the time to like dive deep into anything.
Gatto would agree with you there. He believed that real learning needs time for reflection, for making connections,
right,
letting ideas sink in. But the school day is designed for efficiency, not for deep thinking.
And that feeling of disconnection extends beyond the classroom, right?
Yeah.
Gatto also talked about how school kind of isolates us from the real world.
That's a key point. He argued that the emphasis on abstract knowledge and standardized testing can make learning feel irrelevant to our lives.
Yeah.
Like, why am I learning this? How will this ever be useful to me?
He even mentioned how Australian schools shied away from teaching about environmental issues.
Right.
Despite Australia facing serious ecological challenges.
That's a great example of the disconnect that Gatto was talking about.
Yeah.
He believed it was intentional design to keep students passive and uncritical. He said that, you know, in earlier times, young people had real-world responsibilities. They learned through apprenticeships and contributed to their communities.
So instead of being stuck in classrooms, they were out in the world,
right,
gaining practical skills and a sense of purpose.
Exactly. And Gatto believed that that's where real education happens.
Okay.
Through experience, through engagement, through meaningful contribution. He saw this, like, extended adolescence of modern schooling,
right,
as a way to delay young people's entry into the real world,
yeah,
and keep them dependent on the system.
It's almost like we're being trained to be good students.
Yeah.
Not necessarily good thinkers or active citizens.
That's a provocative way to put it, but Gatto might agree. Remember Stanley? The student who routinely skipped school to work with his aunts and uncles.
Oh.
Gatto believed that Stanley was getting a far better education through those real-world experiences than he ever could have in a classroom. He was learning practical skills, developing a work ethic, and building relationships.
That story really highlights Gatto's point about the limitations of traditional education.
Yeah.
It's not just about the content we learn,
right,
but the context in which we learn it.
Precisely. And what's so fascinating about Gatto is that he doesn't just critique the system.
Right.
He encourages us to imagine and create alternatives.
So what did he suggest? Besides boycotting standardized tests, what did he think individuals could do to reclaim their education?
He was a strong advocate for open source learning.
Okay.
The idea that learning can happen anywhere at any time.
Right.
He encouraged people to take ownership of their education, pursue their passions, and learn from a variety of sources, not just textbooks and classrooms.
I think he was saying, don't wait for permission to learn. Go out and explore, experiment, discover.
That's a great way to capture his spirit. He believed in the power of self-directed learning driven by curiosity and a desire to make sense of the world. He even saw value in what he called the education of the street.
What's that?
The kind of knowledge and wisdom you gain from simply being out in the world, interacting with people, observing your surroundings.
So it's not just about formal education.
Right.
But like the informal, everyday learning experiences we encounter throughout our lives.
Exactly. Gatto believed that true education is about cultivating the whole person, their intellect, their character, their creativity, their ability to engage with the world in a meaningful way. And he didn't believe that could happen solely within the confines of a system designed for conformity and obedience.
It's a pretty radical shift in perspective.
It is.
To see learning as something that happens everywhere, not just in schools. But if we embrace that idea, what does it mean for how we approach education for ourselves and for our children?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's one that Gatto wanted us to grapple with.
He really does challenge us to rethink our assumptions about learning. You know, if schools aren't the only place where education happens, then what does that mean for how we approach it?
It means we need to become more intentional about seeking out those learning opportunities in our daily lives.
Okay.
You know, think about the things that truly engage you, the activities that make you lose track of time. There's probably a lot of learning happening there, even if it doesn't look like traditional schooling.
So paying attention to those moments of genuine, like, interest and curiosity.
Exactly. It's about recognizing the value of those diverse learning experiences. Whether it's reading a book, having a conversation, experimenting with a new skill, or simply observing the world around us.
And this applies not just to our own personal learning, but also to how we approach our children's education.
Right. Absolutely. It's about encouraging their natural curiosity, providing them with opportunities for exploration and discovery, and connecting their learning to their passions and interests. You know, Gatto believed that when children are genuinely engaged, learning becomes effortless and joyful.
It sounds like he was advocating for a much more like individualized and personalized approach to education.
Yeah.
Rather than like a one-size-fits-all system.
That's right. He believed that each child has unique talents and learning styles, and that the system should adapt to the child, not the other way around.
But wouldn't this require a major overhaul of the current system? I mean, it's hard to imagine schools suddenly embracing such a radical shift.
You're right. It's a huge challenge. But Gatto believed that change starts with individuals, with parents, teachers, and students themselves demanding more from the system and seeking out alternatives.
So it's about empowering ourselves and our children to take ownership of our learning journeys, even within the limitations of the current system.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe these individual efforts will eventually lead to broader systemic change. After all, revolutions often start with small acts of defiance and a willingness to imagine a different way.
It's definitely a lot to think about. Gatto's critique of the school system is certainly provocative. But he also offers a powerful vision of what education could be, something more holistic, more personalized, more connected to the real world.
And ultimately, that's his legacy. He challenged us to question assumptions, to embrace our curiosity, and to see learning as a lifelong journey, not something that ends when we graduate.
He certainly gave us a lot to chew on. So for all of you listening out there, what resonates most with you from Gatto's ideas? What questions does this raise for you about your own education or the education of your children? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Keep diving deep.